Last week's SmackDown was the lowest rating again, 1.7. So, yeah. That's where we have right now, huh? That's where we have right now in the era, huh?
In the,
not even your fucking tribal chief is raising the ratings no more, motherfucker.
And
there you go.
There's
fucking go.
Christian from Philly. Only the Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Applause, all right? I'm not in the mood for fucking applause. I'm not in the mood for fucking cheerful, happy bullshit, all right? What we've watched tonight was considerably, arguably, undoubtedly, the worst fucking pay-per-view that this fucking stupid company has ever done in the whole 2021. But before I get to that, let me introduce my fucking co-host. He is DJ from FLA.
Oh, yo, what's good?
DJ, bro, you and I sometimes don't agree on things. You and I have different opinions. But you, a sensible, smart, intelligent young man, have to agree that this pay-per-view was the worst fucking pay-per-view they've done in 2021 so far.
Well, honestly, I'm going to have to disagree. I mean, this pay-per-view wasn't a total dumpster fire. I mean, yeah, there were some things on there that I didn't agree with, but we did have probably the best match of the whole pay-per-view in the Men's Money in the Bank match. But we'll get into all that. But I'm not going to say it was a complete disaster by any stretch. I mean, we at least got one surprise, and I've been saying this, that even though they said, I've read some reports, that we were going to have a few surprises, but I wasn't looking for a few surprises because I know they say all that crap just to get people to watch, and all I said was, as long as they give us at least one surprise, you know, then that would be cool. And they did, although it might not be a popular vote of a surprise they gave us, and we had to wait till like the actual very, very end to get the surprise. And well, we'll talk about that when we get to that match. But I can't agree with you that this was a complete flop. It wasn't exactly, you know, a stellar pay-per-view by any means, but definitely not a complete flop. So I would have to disagree with you on that just a little bit, Christian. Sorry about that.
That's fine. Okay, so let's go one by one, all right? First, we start with the pre-show. We start with the pre-show between the Usos and the Mysterios. A no-nothing match. No-heat match. And guess what? The company has not synced any lower. Because guess what, people? They fucking awarded the guy who has 3 DUIs the world tag titles. They won the tag titles. That has been the worst tag title run the Mysterio father and son ever had. That's the worst tag title run ever. And the fact that the Usos won tells us that the WWE have no fucking standards. They don't give a fuck about DUIs or troubledness. They only care about this stupid Roman Reigns storyline. DJ, what is your response to this travesty?
Yeah, there were several things that they did tonight that made absolutely no sense whatsoever. But it's WWE. What can you do? This is how they've been. You think you would have thought things would have changed now that we have our first pay-per-view of the year with a live crowd in over a year and a half? And you would think things would have changed, but they obviously haven't. I mean, how are you going to let the Usos win the title with Jimmy Uso getting in trouble yet again, and this isn't his first defense, and you reward them with a tag title? It just, they should not have won the tag title. There should have been a lesson learned here. I don't care if they're aligned with Roman Reigns. That makes no difference to me. But they should have never won these titles. So I disagree with that. You're right. This was probably the worst tag team title reign by Mysterio and his son. Of no fault of their own, because they're not the ones that made the decision to drop the title. That decision was made for them, and it was a terrible decision.
We have to do everything for Roman Reigns. We have to make him look strong. So you know what?
Yep.
We have to ruin a tag power run that had no chance whatsoever.
Yep. Vince is in his office saying, well, Roman told me if I want him to keep sucking my cock, I have to put the belts on his cousin, and that's what he did. So there you go.
Next was, the opening of the show. And what was the most abysmal, bad spots, and terrible booking? Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. And guess who won? Not Liv Morgan, the people that actually wanted her to win. Nope. We're going to give it to the horrible gimmick, Nikki Cross, because she's almost a
Nikki
superhero.
Nikki Ash.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to give it to the superhero, the Money in the Bank. We're going to make the Money in the Bank look terrible. We're not going to make it look believable. We're not going to give a good underdog storyline. We're going to give it to the woman who thinks she's almost a fucking superhero. Because that's believable. That's not delusional. Horrible. Horrible match. I'm sorry. Spots were terrible. None of the spots made sense. And the wrong winner won. Fuck this match. DJ?
I have seen a better Women's Money in the Bank match. I would agree that, and nothing personal against Nikki Ash. I have nothing personal against her whatsoever. But they have been, as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, they have been keeping Liv down for a very long time. And it's very aggravating. She deserves it, probably much just like Naomi deserves it too. But then again, Naomi being punished because of what happened, because of her husband and all his crap that he's been getting himself into. So she's having to take a lot of flack for that, and I feel bad for her. But Liv Morgan has been, they've been kind of doing her like they did Braun Strowman, where they would start a push and they would try to change her character. Well, they didn't change his character, but they would try to do a push, and it would go on for a week or two, and then they'd stop the push, and all of a sudden it's like, what happened? And this kept happening with Liv. Bad for her because she really, really deserves to get some kind of momentum going her way. This would have been the absolute best thing for her to at least get her going, get her momentum going, get people to believe in her. But they just, for some reason, WWE and Vince just does not, they just don't want to put a title on her. They don't want to give her the briefcase. I don't know what it is. But if I were her, whenever her contract expired, maybe she needs to go elsewhere. I think maybe she needs to go somewhere else where she'd be more appreciated and, you know, and used the right way. Again, nothing personal on Nikki. Don't have anything bad to say about her. Yeah, her gimmick's kind of cringe a little, but apparently Vince likes this thing because it's the, you know, the PG era catering to, you know, all the kids and stuff out there, so that's his thing. But as far as this match as a whole, there was some good spots, but there was also there's several botches in this match too that happened. But you know what? There were a few women in this match that had not been in the Money in the Bank match. So I mean, you know, you got what you got. you know, with who was in there. Some of them didn't even deserve to be in this Money in the Bank match. You know, I'm really getting tired of this, where they just put people in the match where they don't even earn it.
Dude,
I think it was a bad idea to put the I think it was a bad idea to put the tag team champions in this match, but they're so short on women, they have no choice. Although they could have brought back somebody and filled in that last spot, and they decided they wanted to fill that in with Tamina. And I'm sorry, but that was the worst decision ever. That's my opinion, and maybe it's the opinion of other people, but that's just how I feel. But, yeah, this match was not that great. I've seen better women's Money in the Bank matches. And, again, like with the Usos, with the tag team, with the Usos and the Mysterios, the wrong person won. So, yeah, that's what it is. I was kind of upset about that. Even Alexa Bliss, I would have been happy if Alexa Bliss would have won. As a matter of fact, in the odds, she was favored to win. And there was a couple of these matches where, matter of fact, the tag match, the Mysterios were favored to win. They lost. Alexa Bliss in the Money in the Bank women's match in the beginning of the show was favored to win. She did not win. So the odds, you can never go with the odds. And that just goes to show you because, you know, WWE's always, they probably have somebody looking at the odds and then they do all these little swerves and changes and stuff just to throw people off. So you got to be careful with that. But yeah, this could have been better. No doubt.
Next came the Know-Nothing Raw match between Viking Raiders and AJ Styles and Omos. This was okay. It was just there. This just should have been a Raw match. I'm sorry.
Correct.
This match did not deserve to be in a fucking pay-per-view. It was mostly a fucking handicap match. And then Omos entered, that was it. So, nothing. This match shouldn't have been in the fucking card to begin with. This should have just happened on Raw. I'm sorry. This was a Raw match.
Yeah, this was, yeah, I have to agree. This was kind of like watching a tag match on Raw, for sure. And, I mean, it was what it was. Again, there were some great spots. Omos showing his strength with Ivar. You know, and Ivar is no slouch, man. That's a big guy. And to be able to do the things Omos was doing is pretty impressive. I will give him that. But, yeah, this was just a match just with some good spots. And I think it was predictable. I think we all knew that AJ Styles and Omos were going to retain their titles, and they did. So it was pretty much a predictable match. Good spots. It seemed like we were watching Monday Night Raw. That's what it was. So it is what it is. I think this match was basically kind of just a filler. Because we only had what? We had seven matches in total. The first match was on the kickoff. So we only had six matches on the actual show. So this one just felt like it was kind of a filler. Yeah, they had the titles on the line because they're trying to make it a little, you know, have some titles on the line. So let's do the tag team on Raw and just use that as a filler. Because they didn't have anything. So, and that's what you get when you don't take the time to build matches, meaningful matches that mean something and have a reason as to why those matches are taking place. And that's been a problem with WWE for a very, very, very long time. And so that's why you see these types of matches that you just look at and go, oh, this could have been on Raw or this could have been on SmackDown. It's just one of those things. Again, it was what it was. So.
Up next was a waste of time, the WWE title match between Bobby Lashley and Kofi Kingston. Oh, I'm sorry, scratch that. It wasn't a match. It was a complete burial. It was a squash. Kofi Kingston got his ass whooped, got annihilated. While this is good for Bobby Lashley being a beast, this is not fucking good when it to being on a fucking match that was built up and makes Kofi Kingston look like a fucking scrub. You know?
Yeah.
What a waste of fucking time.
Yeah, I'm still kind of befuddled with this. I mean, I know between Xavier and Kofi, they've been doing this thing with Lashley for the last few weeks. But if you honestly thought, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Kofi, but I mean, I'm just saying, let's just be realistic here. If you honestly thought that Kofi was going to have a chance at winning this match tonight, something's wrong with you. I like Kofi. I got nothing against him, nothing personal. But there's no way that they're going to have Lashley drop the title to Kofi. Yeah, Kofi had his moment. He had his Kofi mania, but that was back then. And he's still a great wrestler, but this just wasn't the time or the person for him to go against to have him have a strap around his waist. It just wasn't, and it wouldn't have seemed right anyway. So that's why they did this match. I think that's why they did the match the way they did it. It was pretty much like a squash. I feel bad for Kofi, but you know what? You know, they had to do what they had to do. There's no way Lashley was dropping the title to him tonight, so.
Yeah. Up next we had the women's match for the Raw women's title. It was Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. From the beginning, it was doomed to fail almost. Well, you know. First, the crowd already gave shit to it. They didn't give a fuck about this match. They started the We Want Becky chants already. So they're surprise, surprise. Nobody gave a fuck about this match until the end. Then the match kicked off. It was actually pretty damn good. But the results fucked up. Charlotte Flair won. She beat Rhea clean. Now Rhea looks fucking terrible. She's already ruined. Her title run was shit. Now Charlotte's the champion again. Oh, my God. Surprise, surprise. Yep, we just ruined another up-and-coming star. It's always the fucking four horsewomen on top. Is nobody fucking new. So, yeah, Rhea's fucking ruined, and Charlotte's the champion. I hope to God this is the final match they've had, because I don't want to see them fucking wrestling again at SummerSlam. My God, this fucking feud's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, this match right here. Here's this. I'll say this, and I tweeted about this as soon as that match was over. And this is just how I feel, because I really don't understand. Like I said in the beginning of this, that there was a few things that WWE did that didn't really make any sense. This is one of them. This is another one, I should say. I know who she is. I know she's Charlotte, Ric Flair's daughter. I get all that. But here's the thing that I don't get. I'm gonna back this up a little bit. When Rusev / Miro, because that's what he is known now, went to AEW, and Lana was still in WWE, what happened with Lana when she was in WWE? She took so much punishment from Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I can't even tell you how many tables they put her through. The abuse that she took after that happened. Now, Andrade, who is Charlotte Flair's boyfriend, he goes to AEW. Do you think they're going to punish Charlotte? No. What did they do? Well, if you watch tonight, she got rewarded with the Raw Women's title. Rhea Ripley having to drop the title to her tonight. Does that make any sense whatsoever? I don't care who she is. I don't care what last name she has. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know what their reason is for that, but for me, it's unfair, it's unjust, and it ain't right. And I don't give a damn who she is. You know what I'm saying? You just one of these things that you know that Vince WWE does makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And so I was kind of pissed off about that. But it just doesn't mean what you expect. I mean, they do stupid shit, and that's what they do. So. It's whatever, you know, she's going to get whatever she's going to get no matter what, just because of her name and her father. So it's whatever. I don't care.
Fuck Charlotte Flair. She's just fucking, the reason why she flipped the crowd was because she's jealous that Becky Lynch is more fucking over than you, bitch. You don't want to admit it. She's the new company star, motherfucker. That's why you flip the crowd, because you're jealous. You're jealous of Becky's success. That's why. Before we get to the Money in the Bank match, the men's Money in the Bank, the best match of the whole fucking show, the whole saving grace, we had a big heel turn, DJ. You want to know what the big heel turn was tonight? fucking Peacock, the fucking streaming service itself. My fucking word. How fucking shit is this streaming service? For three fucking straight months in a row, WWE pay-per-views have been shit with the quality on this fucking streaming service. This tonight was the most horrendous one of them all. It was freezing like a motherfucker, slow motion, no audio, and then it just fucking crashed. Peacock, get your fucking shit together. And WWE, this is what you fucking deserve because you decided to go on Peacock, a brand new streaming site that nobody fucking wants. They should have gone with fucking Hulu. They should have gone with fucking Netflix or Amazon Prime. Instead, nope, let's go to fucking Peacock. DJ, how do you feel about Peacock turning heel tonight?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't have Peacock. So I go and watch these pay-per-views. I go a different route. I have several other ways that I can watch these pay-per-views other than subscribing to the Peacock. And I'm glad I didn't. I was, however, subscribed to the WWE Network when that was still around. Obviously, in the UK, in those areas, it's still around there, but it's not around here. So in the U.S., honestly, I think it's sad. I think it's sad that, you know, the Peacock has been having a lot of problems when it comes to their pay-per-views as of late. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because, you know, they have so many people that are trying to stream and they just don't, you know, prepared for the amount of people. They should be, though. They should know that there's tons and tons and tons. You know, even though the product is garbage and has been garbage for a while, there's still tons and tons and tons of fans of the WWE. And so they should know and they should have been prepared. So whatever it is that they're using for us to be able to stream, you know, see the stream on their platform isn't working. Something's not working. And they need to do something about that. They need to change whatever it is they need to change, upgrade whatever it is they need to upgrade something, because they're going to lose a lot of people. People are going to be able to find other avenues to watch these pay-per-views, and you're going to see a decline in subscribers to Peacock if they don't do something about this and get this fixed. It's pretty pathetic, to be honest.
Another issue to address on this pay-per-view, this shit pay-per-view, is the poster person on this pay-per-view. It's called false advertisement. Bianca Belair was not on the show tonight because she had a match on Friday. But if that was the case, they should have changed the poster to somebody else. Because you know what? That, my friends, is called false advertisement, because I bet you some Bianca Belair fans was going to watch the show when she was on. But nope, that's called false advertisement. DJ, what are your thoughts about that?
Wait, say that one more time. I apologize.
Bianca Belair is on the poster of Money in the Bank, but we all know that she had a match on SmackDown, so she couldn't be on the pay-per-view. This, my friend, is called false advertisement. They should have changed the fucking poster.
Probably, but they probably didn't have time to do it. So, I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, they had to make some changes because of what happened with Bayley. So I don't know why they didn't change it. I don't know if it was because they just didn't have time to do it and they just kept it the way it was. I'm not sure. I don't think a lot of people are going to be – I mean, I know you're bothered by it, but I really don't think there's going to be that many people who are going to make a big stink out of it, because if they watched Friday night and they watched SmackDown, they're already going to know. So it's not really going to matter if they still see her on the poster. That's not going to really matter. So they already knew she was going to be defending her title on SmackDown, and then Liv Morgan was going to take Carmella's spot on the Money in the Bank match that we saw tonight. So, like I said, I don't think too many people are going to make a big deal of it, because we already know what happened. So maybe it was just something they decided just to keep. Try to rush anything, try to change the poster. That's just, I really don't know the reason, but that's what I'm thinking. So that's no big deal. It doesn't bother me. I didn't even see it, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, okay.
So we move on to the best match of the whole show, the Men's Money in the Bank. Great spots, huge superstars in the ring. And the right winner won. Surprise, surprise, a positive reaction, a positive outcome. Oh, my God, I am shocked. He won? Jesus Christ, it's a miracle. So, yeah,
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
What?
Why do you say that?
Because, you know, it's the only thing they've done right in this whole show. The right winner won the Money in the Bank briefcase. The only thing they've done right.
Also, you're saying it's a miracle because the right person won?
Yes, it's a miracle.
Okay, because WWE is not known for making right choices. And
yeah.
I have to agree. And this was one of the matches that the odds makers that had odds on this match got right. They favored Big E, and Big E won. So, and I'm happy. I'm happy for him to. I mean, if it was him or Kevin, I would have been happy. This right here is probably, and maybe it might not be the popular decision here, but this match right here, the men's Money in the Bank match, was the best match of the night.
It was.
There's a couple spots that stick out to me. The one that does stick out to me is the one that Ricochet did, where he came off the ladder and then he bounced off the top rope, did a flip, and landed on the other participants on the outside of the ring. That was even Riddle, if you've seen Riddle's face, was in shock at what he just saw. That was absolutely amazing. The other spot that sticks out to me was when Big E came in to get Seth Rollins off the ladder. And he did his – oh, I forgot. What was his move? I don't know why. I can't remember what Big E's move is.
Big ending.
The big ending. He put the big ending on Seth Rollins off the ladder. That was crazy. It was fantastic. It was crazy. And then the other one was the bump that Kevin took, which was so sick. And I tweeted about that. I tweeted about this whole thing in this match earlier. And I really hope he's okay. I hope he's not really severely hurt. Because that when he landed and he went through that ladder, it looked like his neck was kind of went down into his chest, like his chin went into his chest. So he got kind of folded a little bit. His head and neck got kind of folded. So I really do hope that he's okay, man, because that was a sick, sick bump. And, yeah, this match was fantastic. I've got nothing bad to say about this match. The best match of the night, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we go to the main event of the match. We went from the best match to possibly the fucking worst match on the fucking night. The most boringest, shittest, methodical Roman Reigns match I've ever fucking seen. Edge versus Roman. This was boring. This was predictable. This was shit. Roman looks weak. He looks terrible. He has to get help a bunch of times to win. He doesn't look credible. The fucking Mysterios came out and interfered in the Usos. But guess what? Surprise, surprise. Nobody saw this coming. I'm being sarcastic, by the way. Seth Rollins
right.
comes out, crosses Edge, and Edge loses. The Roman bitch, the tribal bitch, looks weak as fuck. And guess what? After Edge and Rollins gets out of the ring, who comes in? John Cena comes out, steals the spotlight like he always does, comes out, and now it's confirmed that he's going to face Roman Reigns at SummerSlam for this fucking title. Who honestly gives a fuck? Who cares? Awful.
So, okay, so let me just start off by saying this. And again, this was something I tweeted as well that I'm about to say. When we got to this match and it finally set in with it, we were at the main event, the last match of the night. The only thing I could think of was, holy shit, we're at the last match. We're at the main event, and we haven't had any surprises. You know, this other promotion last night in their pay-per-view, Impact Slammiversary, what, they have 3, 4, almost 5 surprises that night? And we're at the main event. We're at the last match, and we haven't seen not even one. Not one surprise. And I was just, and I tweeted about that because I was so disappointed, and I'm just like, seriously? You know, you're going to let a company like Impact, who isn't as big as WWE, you know, as far as I'm concerned, with as surprises go, they outshine WWE. I don't care. I don't even care if John Cena was the one surprised. Everybody's going to be like, oh, this was huge, blah, blah, blah. That's one guy. And there's a ton of people out there that are probably like, okay, so John Cena's back, but doesn't mean we wanted it. I'm sure a lot of people wanted it, and there's a lot of people that didn't want it. So they wanted someone else. They wanted Becky Lynch, you know, to come back. I would have loved to see Becky Lynch come back. She even said she was in town and couldn't wait to see, and I think this was what Arcane was saying when we were in Discord still. I think Arcane was the one that said it, you know, that, hey, I'm in town. I can't wait, you know, to see who doesn't make it to the Women's Money in the Bank. So she was trolling everybody because she never showed up, and everybody made it. No one, there was nobody that didn't make it. But, yeah, so I was kind of disappointed at that. And then when the match started, I mean, Roman Reigns' entrance took forever. I thought The Undertaker had a long entrance. I would have rather watched The Undertaker's entrance than Roman Reigns' long-ass entrance. So you could tell they were dragging this out. I think if they didn't drag it out like they did with his entrance, it probably wouldn't have gone – taken this match probably would have taken so long, and they wouldn't have gone over the 11 o'clock hour like they did. I don't know if that was on purpose. Or whatever, but at any rate, yeah, this match started out real slow, and it was dragging, and I know a lot of people on the Discord were kind of like, oh, this match is boring. I kind of felt the same. I tweeted about it, you know, dragging. You know, I asked people, am I the only one? But then, like, it started to get a little exciting, midway or a little more than midway through the match. They started doing stuff, spots on the outside of the ring. And whatever, and they started to pick things up a little bit, but it really dragged out. And you know, there was a few times where I actually thought that Edge would win. To be honest with you, there was a few times where I thought he was going to get the pin on him. And then just when you thought that Edge was going to pin him, at one point, you could see the crowd is looking up in the audience. Or actually, the first people to come down, actually before that, the first people to come from the back were the Usos. But not far behind the Usos, as they were coming down the ramp, and I guess they didn't see him, was Ray and Dominic. And they came down and made sure that those two guys didn't interfere in the match and beat them up and brought them back to the back. And then a couple of minutes later, if you look at the crowd, could you see the crowd starting to erupt a little bit, and you see people looking behind them. So some, I thought, oh, this is going to be a surprise. Who's the surprise? And it just happened to be Seth. We kind of figured Seth was going to show up, especially after the little segment he did in the back after the Money in the Bank match that he had. He wasn't exactly happy. He even said, you know, that he's got to regroup and he's got to think this through. He has to come up with another plan. So he's planting all these seeds that's telling us that he's probably and most likely going to come out during this match and interfere in this match in some capacity. And he did. He came through the crowd. He came in. He gave a little kick to the head to Edge, as Edge had that metal piece from that chair in Roman's mouth. I thought right there at that moment he was going to get pinned, but he didn't. A couple things went down, and then Roman delivered a spear, and then that was that. And then the pin, Roman gets the pin, and it looked like Seth was leaving, but then he wound up coming back and started beating up on Edge some more. And then all that, just whatever that happened, it just, that all cleared out. And at the very, very end, because Roman, you knew, I guess now that I think about it, when Roman grabbed the mic, because this usually doesn't happen at the end of a match. It just goes off the air after the match is over, and they climb up on the second rope or whatever and do their thing, and then all of a sudden it just fades, and it goes off the air. But when Roman grabbed the mic, something was going to happen. I mean, that's usually when someone grabs a mic at the end of a match and it's the last match of the night, there's something extra coming. I did not know, and I will be honest, I did not know that the person that was going to be coming out to confront him was going to be John Cena. And I'll explain why I didn't think it was going to be him, and I said this in Discord as well. There were reports out. I wish I could remember where the reports came from, but it is from a website that's
reliable.
It's from a reliable. It's a reliable source. And there was an article that was saying that, you know, even after John Cena had confirmed that he was going to make it to SummerSlam, there was an article that came out that was saying that, you know, John Cena was going to be doing some filming abroad, meaning in another country, and weren't sure if he was going to be able to make it because of the traveling situation and the COVID. The COVID-19 that, you know, even though it's getting better, it's still not completely over yet. So with the traveling thing, they were making it seem as if he may not be able to make it. So that right there threw me, because I didn't know he was going to be the one to come out. And as soon as his music hit, I'll be honest, I was shocked. I really was, because I did not expect it to be him. I don't know who I thought would come out, but I surely didn't expect it to be him. I know I mentioned Keith Lee, and I know who's the other one that I mentioned, Keith Lee or
Brock Lesnar.
I don't think I mentioned Brock. There was somebody else that hadn't been around. But anyways, nor here or there. I was very shocked to see John Cena because I wasn't expecting it. But it was what it was. And again, we got a surprise. We got the one surprise that I said I was hoping to see. Just wasn't who I wanted to see. I'll be honest. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I wasn't a really big fan. I never was a really big fan of John Cena. I just didn't like the way he wrestled. I mean, yeah, can he deliver promos and stuff and be real intense about it? Absolutely. I'll give him that all day. But it's his wrestling I really didn't care about, because he always seemed like he wrestled stiff. And I just didn't like the way he wrestled. So I could listen to him do promos and say whatever's on his mind all day. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think he's that great of a wrestler, to be honest with you. He's got the physique and everything. He's got the look. I just don't think he's that great of a wrestler. And that's my opinion, and I'm going to stick to it. So, but, yeah, this match, it picked up a little bit. Like I said, I thought it was – I was disappointed in the beginning, but definitely wasn't the best match of the night, that's for sure. I already told you what that was. So it was what it was. Now, like you said, Christian, it all now looks like we're going to get Roman Reigns versus John Cena at SummerSlam. And so now between now and then, we're probably going to see Cena on SmackDown getting this thing built up and ready to go for SummerSlam. So because we've got a couple of weeks. Next month, we're only 2 weeks away from being in August. So yeah. SummerSlam right around the corner. So we got to gear up for that. And hopefully they actually do a better job of building matches for this and not get so damn lazy like they've been. But we'll see. Cross our fingers.
You know, something interesting that proves that nobody gives a fuck about Roman Reigns on this pay-per-view. One, during the segment with Roman and the Usos, when the Usos won the tag titles, the people were chanting, fucking boring. This is boring.
Oh, there was a few chants we heard tonight in some of these matches. Like during the Rhea Ripley and Charlotte, a few times you heard chants about "We want Becky, we want Becky." So that was pretty, crazy in itself. So the crowd knows what they want. It's just Vince has a hard time of giving it to them, of giving it to the fans.
They chant, They chanted "This is boring" between a segment of Roman Reigns and Jimmy and the Usos, and then during the match between Roman and Edge, they chanted to Roman, "You can't wrestle. You can't wrestle." So guess what? Nobody still gives a fuck about your golden boy, Vince. The fans still don't give a fuck about this guy, even after turning heel. They still don't like him. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, oh, of course I believe it. There's going to be loyal people who are going to stick with how they feel no matter what you do with Roman. You know what I'm saying? No matter if you put him a heel or you put him as a face, you know, if you change his gimmick, if you change his music, there are going to be fans out there who are loyal to their opinions and loyal to their feelings of how they feel about somebody. And they're going to stick with that. If they really, really, really don't like this person, they're going to stick with that. It doesn't matter what you do with that person. It doesn't matter who you match him up with in a match. He's never going to be liked. And Vince only has himself to blame for that because of all those years that he shoved Roman down our throats, trying to make people cheer for him. And the longer he did that, the worse it got for Roman. And that's why everybody at that time, see, here's the thing, and this might just be my opinion. Back when all this crap was going down with Roman and stuff, when everybody in the beginning was saying, listen, turn him heel. Turn him heel. Everybody wanted him to, because this whatever he was doing before was stale. He needed a change in wardrobe. He needed a change in attitude. And he needed to change his music. I mean, if he had done that back then, when shitloads of people were asking for it, I think things would have been a little bit different. But because he waited so – what did he do? What, for 4 years? Almost 5 years? He shoved Roman in our faces, you know, and tried to get him over as a – tried everything. He tried everything. He tried matching him up with this person. He tried matching him up with that person. He tried everything, and it wasn't working. It wasn't working. And now, how long ago did he finally, because he had no other choice, to turn Roman heel. But he did it with a catch. And he did it because he knew, okay, I'm going to go ahead and turn him heel, but there's a catch. At some point, I'm going to pull the plug on his heel role, and he's going to go back to being a face. It hasn't happened yet. It was supposed to happen after WrestleMania of this year. WrestleMania's over. When was WrestleMania? In March or was it April? April. April, right?
It was in April.
In April. So we're May, June, July. So we're 3 months away from WrestleMania. It's been 3 months since WrestleMania. At some point this year, I have a feeling Roman is going to be turning back to being a face, because Vince said he wanted him to hold the title at least till WrestleMania. Well, it's 3 months out. It's 3 months past WrestleMania. He still has the title. And, you know, he hasn't yet turned face, but I have a feeling that at some point Roman is going to turn face, because that is what Vince has always wanted. He didn't want to turn him heel, but he had no choice. People were getting in his ass about it, and he just like, you know what? Fine. I'll turn him heel. But at some point, he's going back to being a face. This is only going to last for a certain amount of time. He's going back to a face. That's what I want. It's what I've always wanted. That's what's going to happen. Deal with it.
And he didn't really change anything.
I mean, he wound up getting new music, but that music was god-awful. His new music was god-awful. They could have done better. I know you don't even like it.
No, I hate it. Arcade hates it, too.
It was terrible. But Vince waited too long to turn him heel. That's why there's still people out there. There's still a ton of people out there that still don't like him. Still don't like Roman. Because of all those years, we got tormented. And Vince just would not budge in trying to change this man for the good, for the better. And people are like, you know what, fine. You know, if that's where you're going to be, fuck him. I'm not going to like him at all. I don't care what you do with him. I don't care. You know, do what you want. I'm still going to hate the dude. I don't like him. I'm not going to like his character. You know, but that is what it is, man. I don't know how much longer it's going to be before we see Roman back to being a face again and Vince trying to get people to cheer for him. It's going to be hard because they're still booing him right now. You heard him.
They're still booing him. So, there's a little bit of cheers. Those are just female fans.
Yeah. The ones that are still in his ass. Yes. I mean, if I met Roman in person and I met the person, not Roman Reigns, but I can't even remember his name. Anna Y, whatever his name. Something Anna Y.
Joe.
The guy. Huh?
Joe Anaheim something. Yeah.
I bet you he's a cool-ass person outside of wrestling and his character. Outside of his character, outside of wrestling, I bet he's a cool, down-to-earth kind of guy. I have no doubts. But his character and him as Roman Reigns, it's too much. But you have to face reality. Who else do they have right now? I mean, yeah, this was a big match tonight he had with Edge. But who else is there really that can with what he's been doing with his heel run right now, I'm going to say this is probably his best work. And I agree with JD to an extent, you know, when he says that Roman's going to hold his belt until they find somebody worthy that's going to be able to fill his shoes. And unfortunately, those are big shoes to fill. So it's going to be interesting to see person is that's actually going to step up and Vince is going to be like, okay, I think you could do it. I think you could be the one to get the strap next. It's going to be very interesting. I know Big E has the money in the bank, but here's the thing. He's supposed to go to Raw. He's supposed to be going to Raw. So if he goes to Raw, and Lashley still has if Lashley still has the belt, you know, he could cash in over there. But he can pick anybody at this point. He can still pick someone in SmackDown or Raw. He has that choice. But he's supposed to be drafted to Raw. So we're going to have to see what happens then. What are we in July, August, September? 3 months?
It's until
before
October.
The damn draft? That's stupid.
It's until October.
So it's going to be interesting if he holds on to that Money in the Bank briefcase, you know, until then. Because if he holds on to it and he still has it in October, we could very well see him over on Raw. He may challenge Lashley for his title if Lashley still has it.
Yeah.
So, and the same thing could be said for Lashley, too. Who else do they have? I mean, McIntyre just got taken out, so it looks like he's going to be feuding with Jinder.
Hooray.
So without McIntyre, who else do they have?
They're going to bring back Goldberg. They're going to bring back Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg. I forgot about that. And that just makes me sick in itself to know that they're going to do that. That's gross. Please don't let him win it like they did last time because that is just so dumb. He's a part-timer. He's not going to be there full-time. Like he's just like another Brock Lesnar. And it's sickening. Just a thought, man. How long is this match going to last? 5 minutes?
Probably, yeah.
Ain't no way Goldberg's going to be able to go toe-to-toe with frickin' Lashley. Lashley will destroy him. I think Lashley could destroy him for real.
This SummerSlam is starting to look like shit.
it's from what you've read. Oh my god, that's pretty sick. If that comes to fruition, what you've read about what the matches are going to be, we're in trouble already.
Seth Rollins versus Edge is decent, I guess, but the rest.
Yeah, well, you know why that's going to be decent? Because it's the first time ever. Those two have never fought each other. So that could be something to look forward to.
Fuck me. So this card is shit.
I have a feeling we're going to see Becky Lynch back soon so that they can set up a match with, you know, with her so that she can be part of SummerSlam. I wouldn't be surprised if she showed up on SmackDown because Seth is there. So she shows up on SmackDown and maybe she'll show up this coming Friday. This Friday coming up is big. Big because they're going to be in two different places. So I think this would be a good Friday, this one coming up, for her to show up and start a feud. The earlier the better. Don't wait until 2 weeks and then try to squeeze in trying to build up something. Do it now. This week would be perfect to get her there. It'd be perfect to bring Keith Lee. Get him going on something.
Keith Lee's fucking dead. His career is dead.
Well, we don't know that. I mean, you can assume that all you want, but we really don't know that until, you know, we find out exactly if, you know, for all we know, they could be saving him for something. They've got plans for him. They're just keeping it under wraps, which is something that WWE is not used to doing. They're always leaking out shit. You know that.
Yeah.
The fact that if that's what it is, and the fact that they're keeping things under wraps, what they're going to do for him, that's a surprise to me. Because the fucking WWE don't know how to keep goddamn secrets. They like to leak that shit out there already and get people, oh, my God, this is like about. No, come on, bro. You can set the stuff up where it's like, okay, people will know something's going to happen. You don't necessarily have to tell them what's going to happen. Just set it up to where it's like people are going to be intrigued and invested, you know, and then they're going to show up and they're going to watch because they know something's going to happen. I mean, Jesus, you don't have to give everything away. But I mean,
it's
a good time because they need to bulk up SummerSlam. That's one of their big four pay-per-views of the year. You know, out of the four, that's one of them, and they need to really bulk up the match lineup here, man. You got to get some of these people back, get them in these feuds right away. I mean, they've been sitting on the sidelines for way too long. We're definitely not going to see Rana because she's pregnant, so I'm not even worried about that.
Yeah.
They could sign Brock Lesnar for a short term, whatever, and you could see him come back at some point before SummerSlam and get him in the card. But who would you do? Because they're already. But who is he going to go up against if Goldberg's supposed to freaking fight Lashley and then Roman and fucking John Cena? You bring Brock back, who is he going to go up against?
I don't know. Some other jobber. But one last thing before we go to the ratings of the pay-per-view. It's already looking like the downfall of Drew McIntyre when the fans booed the shit out of him. Downfall.
Are you talking about during his segment in the back?
No. And then the match itself when he came out to the match.
I think we talked about this too on Discord, and I think when he first showed up to do his little interview in the back, I think they were saying Drew. I don't think they were going boo, because while he was talking and he said something, and it really kind of got the crowd going and they were cheering for him. So that makes me think they weren't booing him. I think they were just saying Drew like that. It sounds like boo. So
what kind of cheer is that?
But I don't think they were saying boo. I think they were just saying his name in the back. That was my mistake, because if they sound so much alike, if you're not really actually listening, it sounds the same. Drew and Boo.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Now we go to the ratings for the show. DJ, you're first.
Okay. Well, this show, because there's only a few things on this show that were fantastic, like the men's Money in the Bank match was fantastic. Everything else was kind of mediocre. And then, you know, because of the fact that they waited till the very, very, very end to give us the one surprise that we got tonight and being John Cena, which I was disappointed because there should have been more, not just one. This is the first paper. I said it before. This is the first pay-per-view in a year and a half that we have with a crowd, and they should have made this one special. If anything, they should have made this one special because of that fact alone, and they didn't. Yeah, they brought John Cena back, but golly, you made us wait the whole freaking 3.5 hours. You know, over 3 hours for him to show up and then come out and not say nothing. Seriously? So with that being said, and like I said, only one match really kind of stuck out to me as being fantastic. I know this is going to sound like I'm being generous, but I'm going to have to give this pay-per-view like a 4.5 out of 10. That's being generous. I wanted to give it at least a 5, at least meet it halfway. I just couldn't find it in my good conscience just to give it at least a 5. I have to give it a 4.5. That's the best I can do right now. So.
Well, I'm gonna go with
2.5. I'm going to give it a 5 only because this was a pay-per-view that had a crowd, and the crowd was actually sounding pretty good tonight. So for that, I'll give another 0.5 just for the crowd. So
All right. There,
that meets the 5 out of 10 right there, halfway mark. So, and most of those events are going to the Money in the Bank, men's Money in the Bank match. That's where most of those points are coming from. So
I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 10. Half a point goes to the crowd. The other point goes to the Raw women's title match, even though the fucked up outcome. And the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. But all in all, I do not recommend this fucking pay-per-view. This pay-per-view fucking sucked. Yeah. Fuck. Disrespected CM Punk's legacy. But that wraps up Money in the Blank.
Blank?
Yeah, I call it blank because it was a blank.
Money in the Blank.
So close yourself out, DJ.
Thank you once again for having me, as always. I do appreciate it, and I do love coming on here and giving my opinion and my thoughts on how I feel about this whole thing. I know you do too, so thank you once again, and hopefully I'll be back for the next pay-per-view SummerSlam in the next month. So,
yep. All right. Thank you, DJ from FLA. I have been your host, Christian from Philly. See you all Tuesday on the Fatal 4-Way Radio. Until then, have a good night. Good night, everybody.
Peace out.
Peace
out, everybody.
Peace out, motherfucker.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.